Friend Berry.
Might land a little bit earlier, but Fridays with Fran is live, and Fran Berry going to look ahead to the penultimate Dundalk Friday evening meeting. We also look back at the Easter Festival at Ferry House and Maidan, and we even look forward to this weekend's Irish action. It's great to have Fran back. It's Fridays with Fran, and it's straight from the horse's mouth. Welcome along, Fridays with Fran, recording as part of the From the Horse's Mouth on Wednesday afternoon. So this is a nice early one for us. Fran, it's been too long. How are you, me old buddy, me old mucker?
Been a while, PK is right. Yeah. You've been on your travels and looked like an interesting trip you had to India. So I'm sure we're going to hear all about that through the show. But all is good. Yeah, all is good. Another festival done with Ferry House last weekend. Really enjoyable. I was there on 2 days and... slowly getting into flat mode, but we're very lucky to have Dundalk with the current weather. Just non-stop rain, isn't it? And when you see the weekend, Wexford again looking in doubt and storms coming in, it's going to be tough going into weekend, but we're getting there. Yeah, it's good fun. Yeah.
Send me back to India. Yeah, it didn't rain much there, I can tell you that much. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about holidays. I talk about holidays way too much on this podcast. Right, I have one note from producer Mark. Punter's panel will be recording ahead of the Aintree Festival, which of course is next week. The panelists will be Tom Nugent, who hosts. Mick Fitzgerald is our special guest, obviously a man who won a national.
Is he going to say that?
Yeah, it's like the meme with the Bart Simpson where everyone's pointing at him, say the line, say the line. It's like, was better than sex. Yes, he did say that winning the Grand National was better than sex. Mick Fitz will be there. Ruby Walsh will be there. And Frank Hickey as well will have his opinions. But if you want to ask any of that trio or even Tom Nugent a question, get your questions into fthm@paddypower.com and producer Mark will pick them up. He didn't tell me whether there's a free bet if your question gets called out, but there usually is. Don't hold me to it, though, if there isn't. Right. So that's the notes out of the way. Fran, we're going to look ahead to Dundalk. We're also going to look back at what happened last weekend at Ferry House and at Maidan. And we may even, you mentioned the flat season is back. We may even look ahead to the weekend. But let's look back first, Fran. You were there at Ferry House. Which 2 days? Sunday, Monday?
I was there Saturday and Sunday, actually, yeah. And I was working both days for the track there, but Saturday took me by surprise a bit, PK. It was a lovely day up there, and I thought what would be a quiet day. It was a really good day up there. There was a really good crowd. There was a Style Awards, aka Ladies' Day, if you like.
Did you win?
And I went a bit casual the first day. I brought out the Crombie coat the next day, so I was a bit 24 hours too late for the awards, but it's actually really enjoyable both days. My family came up Sunday with me and they had a really good day out, really good kids atmosphere up there as well, good crowds, and by all accounts Monday was the same. So I know people go on often about crowds and races and everything, but it's really just becoming events, you know, festivals, I think, and they seem to do them very well. The Top Ferry House did a very good job, and different teams through the weekend, and the rain didn't matter on Monday. It seemed to be a cracking crowd and a good atmosphere there by all accounts, and a good spread of winners as well over the weekend. I know Willie had a really big day on Sunday, but Saturday there was various winners through the day. Keane Collins getting Evernock Fizz to win that big handicap hurl, and on to Spillane's Tower winning on Sunday, and obviously the Grand National on Monday. I think it just shows that there is opportunities there. You got to bide your time, but at various times, given the opportunities, trainers with the right horse can pitch up. And it just shows how competitive the game here is in Ireland. And also for you to beat the drum, there was an English train winner.
Yes, there was indeed. I was just going to ask you. I saw Ollie Murphy brewing up a storm, bagged another. Was it a grade two? Great ride,
Jack Kennedy.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Great bit of placing as well by Ollie Murphy. But he did reveal actually on a rival podcast, which I never listened to, that Ollie Murphy rang Gary O'Brien or vice versa to talk about this horse. It might have been he rang Gary, and Gary pinpointed Ollie at this race. So I'm hoping that Gary O'Brien takes a nice little chunk of change for that. It was a well-placed runner, obviously, because he won, but that was it. That's now two British trained grade two winners in the last few weeks. There was that mare who won for Stuart Edmonds at Thurles as well.
Mm. Yes, and of course, go back to Dublin Racing Festival. That Williams horse was the one to chase there, the handicap chase. Was it Nick Williams?
It was in the Drew colours, the Brian Drew colours, wasn't it? I cannot remember. Sophie Leach trained it?
Sophie Leach, excuse me. Yeah, I knew there was French kind of angle to it.
Or something like that, or Madara or something like that. Anyway, yeah, that one as well. So they can do it. Those away games.
Punchestown last year, we've seen a number of horses pitch up there, run well and win as well. So Anthony Honeyball, of course, really good record at that meeting.
Yeah, well, we'll see how many are entered at Punchestown. We know one horse who won't be going to Punchestown is, unfortunately, Constitution Hill. We wish him well. Hopefully, next season is significantly better than last season. We'll get to Maidan, but first, let's talk winners at Dundalk. I don't know how you've been going. Obviously, there was no meeting the week of Cheltenham, the Good Friday meeting, there was no meeting. Sorry, the Good Friday, obviously. But the week before was the week of Cheltenham where we were busy. So this is the first look at Dundalk for a while, certainly for me anyway. Kicking off with a 6 furlong handicap, which again, I do have the old price tissue, so great stuff. Sporting Heroes, top weight for Dennis Hogan and Daniel King. What possible favourite is Talia for Natalia Lupini and Billy Lee. You've got Tyson, Winemaker, also fancied. Those are the three at single figure prices on the tissue, Fran. Does the winner come from that trio?
Yeah, just before we start going, PK, obviously with the bad news that filtered through this morning about Stefano Cerchi, I'd expect there will be a moment's silence at some point through the evening here at Dundalk. And, you know, from all of us here in the podcast, I think we'd like to express our sympathies to his family. It's been a horrendous time for them over the last number of weeks, and you're fearing the worst and to hear the news this morning. So it just puts it into perspective what we take for granted. We see riders doing on a day at the track. So our thoughts with him and his family.
That is dreadful news. Like 2 weeks as well of going through what they went through after it happened. And actually, it's a kind of a not neat segue, but you retired around 5 years ago. Was it 2 days ago? 2 days ago, 5 years ago. And it was injury that actually forced you to retire, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Hard to believe. It just popped. We're talking about it at the weekend with my wife, Laura, that, you know, it's hard to believe it's 5 years coming up. And it was officially announced on April the 1st, which might... Not a good day, yeah. There was a couple of doubters, but no, it was real. And time has flown since then in a good way, though, thankfully. But at the time, very lucky to be able to walk away from the fall at Wolverhampton in January 2019. It was a tough couple of months, getting your head around the injury and rehab and whatnot. So we announced it on April 1st and made the news on April 2nd on the papers. So yeah, it's 5 years on. It feels like a lifetime ago in some respects, but I had a great 23 years riding and enjoying what I do now, thankfully.
And what actually happened? Was it fall at Wolverhampton on the flat? Was it a horse?
Yeah, Bamako de Chalet, a horse I'd won on previously, just took a misstep. I was getting quite close to the horse in front of me, and on the point of the bend, he took a misstep, missed a beat, went straight down, and brought a good friend of mine, Stevie Donoghue, over me. So we're in a WhatsApp group with Stevie, and it often comes up that he doesn't know whether he done me a favour or not by retiring me, but we're able to laugh about it now. And a freak occurrence in the way it developed, but yeah, it was quite frightening at the time.
And it was a back injury, essentially. So you didn't know probably at the time that it was going to be retired, but you were advised subsequently that, like, not a good idea to get back on type thing. Is that the idea?
Yeah, exactly. I'd had a couple of serious injuries over the years, and this one, my main back injuries weren't as serious as my neck injuries. My previous, I had quite high chips on the top cervical vertebrae is my neck, C1, C2. So my hinge movement, the upper movement, is not great. And there's quite a bit of wear and tear there. So as a consequence, my surgeon, when he got the scans, just relayed back to my team at Oaksey House, who are fantastic, that I'll see Fran in a moment for a checkup. But in the meantime, you better start thinking of a new career. So that was it. Yeah.
Okay.
He kind of laid it out there anyway. So, you know, so quite an upheaval when all you've done is ride. But it's funny how things can fall into place in the longer run too.
Exactly. I mean, you could still be riding, or you could be talking to me on a weekly basis. And as we know, one is far better than the other, Fran.
Exactly, and we can eat what we want and drink what we want, PK. So
well, that too. Okay, so look, we 5 years, would you believe it? Yeah, 5 years. And you made a name for yourself, though, Fran. You're doing okay.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Let's go to Dundalk, your specialty topic. As mentioned, the 455, the three horses I said who were likely to make the market are Talia, a winemaker, both in good form recently. In particular, winemaker's going for a hat-trick of wins. And the other one might be Tai Sing Ye. As always, we keep an eye on those horses at this track with Dennis Hogan. So what are we thinking?
Yeah, I think you've kind of nailed it in some respects. Winemaker got beaten a claimer here three or four starts ago. Was really found her niche when beating James Henry, who went on to win or was a previous winner at this track over 7 furlongs. She then dropped down to 5 furlongs last time. Didn't have to make the running or couldn't make the running, but stayed on very well to get up and beat My Girl Sue in good style. And stepping back up to an in-between trip of 6 furlongs here should suit her very well. And she's got a kind draw again in stall number 4. She's had higher marks in the past on the turf, so there's no reason to say that she can't build on this. But I do think she needs to step forward a little bit up here today to take on Talia. When you mentioned her PK, one or two runners in the race from Natalie Lupini. Keep an eye on number 2, Blair Main. Awful all-weather record, but he's got a great record at the current sprints. He's a horse that could be a little bit overweight maybe on Friday night, but might team up for a couple of handicaps at the current in a couple of weeks and just watch him as the apparently Lupini's second string. But Talia is mount of Billy Lee. It's drawn a stall inside of Winemaker's stall number 3. And since joining the stable has been well, or since running for the stable has been well punted when winning at Cork in really good style in June. I ran a cracker nace afterwards in a higher grade and 2 all-weather runs. You're a little bit maybe disappointed on the day that she got beat, but she got beat by filly Charlize that had previous won at the track. And her last run in October behind Many Tears was very striking the way it's worked out. Many Tears was rated 72 on that occasion. She went on to win a Lister race in good style. Subsequent to that, she's rated 101 now, from what I can recall. The third horse home is Exquisite Acclaim. He's won twice, if not 3 times since. And the 4th and 5th Super Over and Casual Crypto have all won since. So the form is really there in the book. All them horses have gone on to prove beyond their marks. And Talia is only £2 higher than that winning mark. And I think dropping back to 6 furlongs will suit her very well. She travelled strongly over 7 furlongs here with a kind draw and plenty of pace in the race. Livingston Range, number 10, and were he to get down to bottom, number 14, the river runs deep, should ensure a good gallop. And Tai Sing Ye, he gave a mention to as well, who's a very likeable veteran at the track, but wouldn't have anything much in hand at a handicapper, should ensure a good gallop. And Talia, for all that she will be popular in the market, I think will be very hard to beat.
Talia, train by Natalia Lupini. I don't know if she had a hand in naming this horse.
She didn't actually train it.
She didn't train it originally, no.
No.
Funny, isn't it?
If I was the previous trainer, I would have been going, like, is this planned?
She's a daughter of Zoostar, actually. She's a very popular Australian sire. Owned by Angelo Matta.
You had to get Australian racing into Dundalk, didn't you?
Don't worry, there's a horse called Straya running later on. I have it earmarked. Don't worry. That's we'll get to that one. Right, that's Talia to win the first 4. Natalia Lupini. Yeah, it's a curious one of those things that just happens. Right, race number 2, 5:30, is Friday the 12th of July, is Ladies' Day. It's a day that's marked out in a lot of calendars here in Ireland, but not really for Ladies' Day at Dundalk. But anyway, it's always a very popular meeting. A lot of people head south to this meeting from the north. This is a sprint handicap, a little bit lesser class. You've got Colin Keane, interestingly booked. Well, not interesting. Colin Keane on board the interesting Royal Correspondent, who makes handicap debut. Mary Shoelaces, plenty of good place for him for Eddie and Paddy Harty. Chris Hayes on board. Must listen to his ICM. Did you listen to his chat with Icy on
I did. I did. Yeah, it was quite good. It was good. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it's quite well worth to listen, actually. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I was in the car there last week, maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you're asked to come on that show, good luck to you. Right. What are your thoughts on this at the 5:30?
I don't know whether you'd be better off stone cold sober, absolutely hammered. I don't know what.
But who knows what the host is anyway, right? What are your thoughts on this at the 5:30?
Cracking handicap, 3-year-old only, a lot of unexposed horses, and Let's start with the ones with experience. First of all, number 11, Mason Brook Meadow. I think this trip will suit him better. And he ran a cracker for his young rider. Two starts go over course and distance. The Bear Trap has plenty of experience as well at a lower level. And Poppadom also has snips of form in the book. But like any of these trio-only handicaps, there's always plenty of potential improvers. And number one, Miss Blackjack ran a cracker in all her starts today for John O'Donoghue. And that run behind O'Halevic over a course of distance back in February was very good, following on from a really good run at Newcastle on the Tapeto over seven furlongs when she was second to a filly of Cheveley Park on that occasion, keeping on well. And all of her runs have been very promising. An opening mark of 77 with Wesley Joyce, taking off 5 pounds, would give her every chance of being involved. Showed a good attitude last time, rallying late on. The more exposed horse, though, you mentioned was Royal Correspondent. And I think this could be a handicap lot, PK. He ran a cracker on debut. Now, admittedly, he was only in front of Poppadom on that occasion. But when you look at the way the race worked out, he was well backed into 11 to 10 favouritism. Just in front of him was First Patillo. She's gone on to be second in the Midler Stud Stakes, rated 113. The second in eight is rated 90, and the Carabine has also got form as well in the book. In eight, excuse me, the second didn't run, but the Carabine, the winner, has plenty of form in the book. And the sixth home, Geraldine's is apparent second string on the day was Beauty Thunder. He's rated in the high 80s now. It's a cracking run on the day. He did jump on a quick turnaround, a 2-1 turnaround. He jumped and ran very keen in Goran Park. Did not do a lot right through the race. Was only beaten 4 lengths at Goran Park. And since then, he had a hood on that occasion. He's been gelded since then. And he gets into handicaps on the back of two runs. Last year, a lot of horses got into handicaps in the back of two runs since the changing of the rules. It proved to be very well handicapped. I think being gelded back to six furlongs on a track where his family, are all a lot of polytrack winners, good ground winners, sprinters, Royal Correspondent could be very well handicapped here. Pine Drawn stalled six. I think for all that he's taken on some exposed rivals, unexposed rivals like Miss Blackjack, Royal Correspondent could be a blot here. He could be a different class to him.
Very confident. And I think you'll like the tissue price. Now, we're recording on Wednesday and the tissue prices can change significantly, I think, from Wednesday on to Friday. But they put him in at 7-1.
That'd be very fair. And when you think, taking the context too, the Lions team have hit the ground running this year in a good way at the Turf at and at Dundalk. It's all positive. I think he's definitely got the potential to do that. And he for me, sets a really good standard. Miss Blackjack, definitely in the mix. And one handicap debutant also, which I forgot to mention, number 8, Martinelli. Shape better than a Bear result on the stand side of Cork last week, but the opening mark looks conservative enough based on that, and I don't think I do think he's a horse who could win races, but not here, baby.
Yeah, you've obviously been looking forward to this 3-year-old handicap. So Royal Correspondent, quite a strong selection there.
It's been a lull week for flat racing, so
you've been delighted to get into this earlier than usual, obviously. We'll talk about 6 o'clock in a few moments. Let's look back, though, to the Maidan Carnival concluded with the Dubai World Cup. There was the Dubai Gold Cup as well. And that's probably a good place to start, because Terror of London made a back-to-back wins in the Middle East in big staying races. He won the big handicap in Saudi, and then he won the Group 2, I think it was. He started off what looked like it was going to be a great day for Ballydoyle. It didn't quite turn out that way, though.
No, Terror of London, he's a very progressive horse, and what he did in Saudi Arabia with an interrupted passage to get up and win late on was very, very taking, and he backed it up with a really good win again on fast ground at Maidan. He looks like he could be a very decent stayer. Not saying he's an Ascot Gold Cup horse, he's got to go and prove that, but he's the potential to step up, depending whether to go back to mile and a half, mile and six, 2 miles, 2.5 miles, be interesting. But he's on a bit of a roll at present in comparison. Gusto Orlandi nearly fell out of the back of the camera the other day, didn't he? It was an awful, awful effort. And it's hard to know where you're at with him again now, isn't it? You know, on the back of the Irish Champion Stakes and the Breeders' Cup win, you think they were on a roll with him. And it was a little bit surprising that he was after the way they resurrected him, that he was being kept in training this year. So he obviously felt very confident that he could build on them two runs. Clearly didn't at Maidan. I couldn't see any excuses for him on the day where he was positioned. He should have finished better. He didn't. He fell apart inside the final two furlongs. Look, he's bombed out in the past, but if we see him again and...
You don't think we won't see him again?
I don't know. Well, they're committed now. The breeding season's gone.
Yeah, exactly. The breeding season's gone, right? Yeah. So
and I suppose when you get into May, he's a novice for next season over hurdles as well, isn't he? So
in the green and gold, JP had a word, is he already? Yeah. What do you think, lads? Well, he can't run the triumph hurdle, though. The 4-year-old hurdle punched him. Yeah, he can still run that.
Deep Impact has had winners over hurdles as well. Cougar is one of hurdles. So there is a trend there, you know? So, yeah. Yeah.
But I guess he's the type of horse a punter's going to hate because you're going to hear about him a lot. And we know he's won two derbies and we know he's won Irish Champion Stakes, but he's also run three absolute shockers now.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like there's any obvious reasons why. The ground at Newmarket was given. That's fine. It was a horrible, it was like they're finishing like a bumper. But the run in the King George, bizarre. The run there, awful. So he's a real tricky horse to figure out. But
Tricky one. And it'd be interesting to see will he get back to the Curra and run the Tattersall's Gold Cup there. Maybe it'd be a good springboard to kick off the season and get rolling again. Quick turnaround to the Coronation Cup, of course, in the back of that at Epsom where he did excel last year. But recovery mission, and you'd hate to be backing him, and if you're back against him, he'd probably come and beat you.
That's the thing; he's going to win, I wouldn't be surprised. Terry London ran a Carnation Cup. Aidan's been saying a lot about how he's not going to stay 2.5, so I wouldn't be surprised if he drops to mile 6, mile 4 if the opportunities arise. Likes of that, let's say Augusto Rodan goes.
Caprios is back on as well, isn't he? I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I saw him in that clip of Aidan saying how he had to. About 80 work riders. Okay. Talia, very good. Okay. Thanks. Right. That's Maidan. And then the Dubai World Cup winner was just nuts. Laurel River was like, I guess for those who didn't see it, it is worth watching on X, Twitter, whatever. Laurel, just put Laurel River in. He blitzed away, tipped up by Joe Logue on this podcast. And well done, Joe. Do you believe it?
Listen, Dubai's its own entity, isn't it? We see results there year in, year out. Don't really tally up through the year, but don't really care about that because it was just over the moon for Tadhg O'Shea. I think it's some achievement to ride a double on the night and win the Dubai World Cup. Tadhg obviously started as an apprentice here with Mick Halford on the Curra, and he's travelled the world really between riding in England for a number of years and has settled in Dubai. And to win a race of that stature and that kind of prize money, it's life-changing in some respects. So great to see it. And a lot of us looking on got a big kick out of it. He's a good character type and he'd be very popular. So take the horse element out of it. The human element was very good.
T.P. O'Shea, I remember seeing on the old race cards many moons ago, right, claiming three, but not claiming anymore, that's for sure. So well on Tadhg.
There'll be a few lads claiming off him, I'd say, for a few quid.
I'd say so, absolutely. Right, we'll move back to Dundalk. No Dubai Gold Cup winner, World Cup winners here. Well, maybe not, who knows, but 7 furlong maiden for 3-year-olds and upwards next up. And Ryan Moore is at Dundalk on Friday night. So your task is to make him sound funny and interesting, Fran, if he rides a winner. So see if you can get a bit of crack out of Ryan Moore. You're 7 and Kevin O'Ryan. That could be interesting. Air Commander is the horse that they combine with in this race. Possible favourite. Apricot Ice is very interesting. You mentioned Ger Lyons has come out flying. He's got Apricot Ice, who was set a tough task on Irish Champions Festival weekend last seen. And then Chicago Fireball, very experienced with Johnny Merton, Ben Cohen. What are you thinking?
Cracking maiden, really, really competitive, and some interesting types on show. You mentioned Ryan Moore. Air Commander had a cracking run and debut at Gorham Park, finished off really well to a fellow debutant in Jolt. Took a little bit of time to get going down the inside on that occasion, but he got going late on to be second. He showed quite badly, though, afterwards at Galway. The ground was probably on the more testing side, it was heavy on that day, but he never got down to gallop. At any stage of the race, he hung out all the way and his head carriage, everything went off of him. And He's out of a motivator mare. You just wonder, motivator Kingman did a bit of temperament come out on that occasion, but then we did not see him on track afterwards. So maybe something went wrong physically, and maybe that was why he was hanging out and never got down to gallop. Based on his debut run, you'd have him all day long. You'd think he'd improve enough to win here. And with the sound surface, I'm going to stick with him here. I do think he's got the more potential maybe in a kinder draw than some of his rivals here to deal with in stall 12, albeit because Apricot Ice, in the same colours as Royal Correspondent, of course, is a filly that showed up really well on debut. Her run behind Content, who went on to run a cracker in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, was extremely good. And perhaps a little over 2 week turnaround when running back at the same track in Leopardstown Irish Champions Festival. She just flattened out very quickly, 3 furlongs out. She's going to be better than that run. I think Judge O'More in her debut run, which she looked a nice filly in the making, but she's out in stall 16. And I just thought Air Commander is worth another chance based on his debut run, based on the time he'd off after Galway. There may be more improvement to come. It's nearly a toss of a coin between the two of them. You have School of Law, who's got plenty of experience from Michael O'Callaghan, and rider Dylan Brown McMonagall, stall 2. He shaped well in all of his runs to date and sets a decent standard off a mark of 81. And Bada Bling, number 5, is a very likeable filly as well in her own right, and stepping up in trips should suit her well, but I don't think she's got enough on here. And I'm going to stick with Air Commander. I just think he could be worth another play on the all weather here. I think the sound surface should suit him very well, and maybe first up could be his best day.
Yeah, let's hope Brian Moore, last time he was due to go to Dundalk, wasn't the Henry Adams was pulled out and went to Henry Adams, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Wayne Lorden got the ride, didn't he? I think in that it was supposed to be probably his first winner.
Wayne ended up riding the second horse home.
Which got beat.
at
a short price. But anyway, he got his winner since, and a nice looking type as well, which was great to see Wayne Lorden back in the winner's clothes. So Air Definitely. Commander for Ryan Moore and Aidan O'Brien. They team up again later on the card. One more race before I want to look ahead to the weekend. The first division of the Apprentice Handicap is due off at 6:30. And this looks a tight little affair. Bungle in the Desert, though, for John McConnell. And, okay, having a clue, D.A. Kidd. Who is D.A. Kidd, Fran Berry? Because big ride, winner last night, Bungle in the Desert.
Yeah, Dylan Kidd. He's obviously based, I don't know where he's based, actually. I was going to say he's based with John McConnell, but he rode over hurdles for John in recent weeks, and he's had a number of rides. So, yeah, it's a good ride for him to pick up. Bungle in Desert caught the eye on a couple of occasions, and since getting into handicaps, he's got better and better. And he was value PK for the winning margin last time. He got to the front 2 furlongs out, and he was quite idle in front. Siobhan Rutledge kept cajoling him along, and he found plenty inside the final furlong. I'd say he's got away well with a £6 rise in the weight to keep him in this lower grade of handicap, and given the authority that he won with on that occasion, I think there is more improvement to come. You have a Dare Beauty, number 12, that was third behind him on that occasion. She came home well, but I do think based on her hurdle run, on her hurdling form, a mile and a quarter could suit her better, but a filly to definitely win a race or two for Thomas Dowling and Dare Beauty. And form-wise, feature this, number 3 is a possible pace angle, and is very consistent when she's on song as well. Weak in the market when she won here in March, but did keep on well to beat Neighbours Rainbow, our stable companion, in good style. Feature this is the biggest danger, along with number 4, Comfort Line. Both of them, though, pretty well exposed. You know what you're getting with them. Comfort Line dropping back down and trip will be a help. But number 6, River Derwent, also worth to mention, was behind our likely favourite Bungle in the Desert last time. He walked out of gates. He can do that when he breaks cleanly. He has been very competitive this season, but I do think Bungle in the Desert will be very hard to beat here again. He still looks well handicapped to me.
Good luck to Dylan Kidd. I think it's only his 6th ride on the flat, and he's probably had about 4 or 5 spins over obstacles as well. Bungle in the Desert, top weight. Okay, before we go back to Dundalk for the second division of said handicap, I asked you, now we're operating on Wednesday, so we've absolutely no idea about decks and stuff like that. But given it is the Curragh and Leopardstown on the flat, I'm sure the Fran will have had a look at both sets of entries and thought, okay, there's a Group 3 of the Curragh, the alleged stakes, that often is won by a decent type. or there's the Guineas Trials and the Ballysacks at Leopardstown to watch out for. So go on, Fran, floor yours. Is there any entries that you thought, I'm definitely keeping an eye out for that one?
Look, Lafayette is back in the alleged stakes on Saturday. Mashur and Alriff is an interesting one. To see him back out, if Connections can get a clean run with him, beating 3/4 of a length by Ace Impact, of course, in Deauville last year. And Ace Impact showed a devastating turn of foot to get up and win late on. Elegant Man, number 6, is their hope. A couple of our Dundalk listeners may well have backed him in Newcastle last week. I did anyway. And we should get a trumpet out for that one anyway, PK.
After the fact, great.
He's a nice horse in the making, but I do think soft ground won't suit him. I'd be shocked were he to run here, Elegant Man, but he's definitely horse that's got a lot of potential. But Al Riffa, definitely the most interesting one of the younger brigade in that race on Saturday and Sunday. That Leopardstown card is also a cracking card. You kick off with them two maidens, the first two races for colts and fillies, always well worth a look. Then you've got the Red Rocks race. It used to be the Guineas Trial, from what I can recall.
Yeah, they've changed names of them. Yeah, they're not the Guineas Trials anymore, but sure, we'll call them that anyway.
We'll call them that, obviously, to pay homage to the sponsors as well, Ballylinch Stud. But Atlantic Coast, number 2, very promising horse. River Tiber is there as well, has an entry, and ended up in both races and the Ballysacks. Well, the horse I like for this season, at least worth following, Ocean of Dreams, who was very good when he won here at last back end. And Samuel Colt, Aidan O'Brien, has got a lot of entries in the Guineas Trials, as we'd call them. And Matrika, good to see her back out potentially in that Prairie Bell Stakes, another Group 3. But Alila Corolla, trained by Paddy Toomey, she beat an opera singer in good style last year in a battle and finish. Just could be a smart filly this year. She's by Harry Angel. Maybe there'll be a question about a mile, but she stayed on very well, over 7 furlongs to win on debut, and a number of promising maiden winners in the mix as well. And Kitty Rose, of course, trained by Natalie Lupini, very promising filly in her own right. So if they turn up on that ground, a lot of promising entries, like the Ballysacks, Deep One, trained by Paddy Toomey, really good Group 2 success in the Burrsford in September, in really good style. And then you've Grosvenor Square, Capulet, promising horse in his own right, Euphoric of Aidens, and Ocean of Dreams. So we learn a lot, I think, come Sunday. It's not a card that I like getting too involved in punting, but I think you learn plenty when you come out of Leopardstown next Sunday.
Yeah, I'm particularly excited about Ocean of Dreams. I thought that was a really taking debut, and I think if he does run on Sunday, he'll probably go for the Ballysacks. He looked at mile and a quarter would be perfect.
If he doesn't go for the 7 furlong, he won't be in the Derby. If he goes for the 7 furlong, exactly, he won't be in the Derby.
Exactly, yeah. If you have him anti-post in the Derby, I'm sure you'd be hoping he goes Ballysacks route. Al Riffa carrying different colours, according to the Racing Post anyway. Anne-Marie has bought him back, or maybe she never owned him, but Anne-Marie O'Brien, now the colours for Al Riffa, who, as you said, was second to some very good horses. They think a lot of him at Joseph's, so it's really interesting to see if he gets
It's an interesting one, and I copped that this morning with the colour change. Maybe it's an admin thing, sometimes that can happen, I wouldn't mind owning him.
No, absolutely not. Very talented horse. And it'd be interesting to see if Crypto Force comes back. We haven't seen him since he won the Beresford of 2022. He beat a smart horse called Adelaide River that day by a couple of lengths, and he's also entered up in the alleged stakes. So really some interesting stuff to look forward to this weekend. But right now we want winners at Dundalk. So we move back to Dundalk. We go for the second leg of the Apprentice Handicap. And it is John McConnell with the top weight this time. Sorry, again, I should say, Zahi. But it's Keaton Kennedy who will ride. Zahi going for back-to-back wins. And according to my tissue, he and the one that got away are going to be the top two in the market.
Yeah, look, Zahi, not an easy horse to get right. He can be very keen, hard to ride. Keaton Kennedy managed to get cover on him last time. He picked up really well to beat Suit Yourself Boss, who has shown a bit of form on occasions as well. So look, when he's on song, Zahi can be very effective, but he's gone up 10 pounds in the weights. And if you weren't with him last time, I wouldn't like to be backing him on his next run after win. But Keaton Kennedy was seen a very good effect at Chelmsford last Friday, riding winner for Dennis Hogan, wasn't it, May night, I think it was, and a highly promising apprentice. He keeps to ride, at least he knows how to ride this horse. He's not easy to deal with. And couple, the rematch, you mentioned PK, the one that got away, International Lady as well, are both there in this race. Both of them ran home behind Bungle in the desert last time when they matched up. That was in late March. International Lady was off the track a fair length of time and ran a very good race, finishing off very well. She's on about the right mark for her, and she could step forward off that run to be very competitive. But I do think number five, the one that got away, is the horse to be with here. Late money for him. Hadn't shown a lot on any of his runs, but late money for him. On a return to action after what, almost 10 months off the track. He finished off really well. Didn't get a split at a vital stage, but I do think the winner was value for the winning margin. But once getting out, he finished off really well. He cheap piece on for the first time. He's only gone up 3 pounds in the weights. He's got a kind enough draw in stall 9. It wouldn't put you off him. And all things being equal, hey, he's going to be very hard to beat. Hey.
I only took you to race. What are we at? I don't know what race we're anyway. 7 o'clock race, 4 or 5? Yeah,
four or five. Yeah.
Do the lads on Racing TV also give you stick for that?
No, but the only time you get somebody tweeting you, we're doing a spread on the number of this and that. Yeah.
Okay. All things be equal, the one that got away, that phrase didn't anyway, in the second division of the Apprentice Handicap. Fascinating little maiden next up, 7:30. Mm. This is a mile and a quarter and change, so nearly a mile and 3 furlongs. There are some choicely bred fillies in this race. Lots with classic entries, and straight onto the top of that list goes Mother Nature, Aidan O'Brien, Ryan Moore making her debut, bred in the purple and entering all the big group ones, and will likely be favourite. A step to somewhere in the Moigler Stokes Return Weld, also choicely bred, also classic entered, and Straya is only going to be mentioned because I like going to Australia for Jack Davison, and carries the colours of the late Frank Dunn, Ronan Whelan on board for Jack Davison, but actually would have a chance. And Luke Comer's also got his traditional 4 runners in this race, so he'll win it with 150 to 1 shot. Fran, off you go.
Yeah, like you said, PK, cracking race. Some really interesting debutants and show. Newtown Adder stood at number 1 and 2 in the race card. Both well bred for Johnny Morton. Jessica Harrington just worth a look. 10 furlong start at Dundalk. Love the start there. You get down at the back of the gates and see how they take in the preliminaries. And I think you'll see a couple of nice individuals on the night. Mother Nature, by his side, has got a fantastic record at Dundalk. Really interested to see her make her debut here at this trip. And given she's from the family of Minding and many other Group 1 winners, she's going to be of obvious interest. You said she's well entered up. And she's also from the family of Tuesday, of course, and Empress Josephine. So a lot to live up to in the pedigree. And starting off in a poly track, she's got everything based on her sire in her favour. You mentioned a step to summer trend by Dermot Weld. See the Stars filly, bred for a mile and a half plus based on what we've seen her family do, but definitely of interest, and interest to see how she kicks off her career as well. Straya, highly tried after showing promise in maiden company. Didn't run a bad race under the circumstances on testing ground at the Curra in August, in Good Ground, but behind Opera Singer in August, and stepping up in trips should suit her very well. Filly I like a lot is number 5, Higher Leaves. She trialled really well at Dundalk in September. She made her debut in very testing ground at Cork on late September, ran home really well to be 4 to Azealia, looking like she'd improve for the run. And again, on really testing ground, I thought she ran a cracker at Leopardstown in late October. The winner, Elizabeth Jane, is definitely one to note. Second string at Dermot Weld's by Dubawi. She picked up to win really well. The second home, Andromeda's rated 87, had experience. And the fourth home as a debutant of Aidan O'Brien's Get. And the fifth, Cheeky Wink of Johnny Murtagh's, were all well touted. Higher Leaves, I thought, ran a cracker on that occasion. And given her way she trialled on the poly track at Dundalk, and Golden Horn has a very good record with his progeny on the poly track as well, from what I can read up on. She's one that I definitely think is up to winning a nice maiden. However, I'm torn with Mother Nature in the race as well. So any tissue price there to guide me or nothing, no?
Well, yeah, but tissue and maidens can be wildly inaccurate. Like, I mean, look, for obvious reasons, the tissue has Mother Nature favoured, given her breeding and everything else. And they put her in 11 to 10. She could go off that price, but she could just as easily go off 11 to 2. Higher Leaves 5 to 1, Mother Nature 11 to 10 is the tissue.
Yeah, she's going to be short in the higher leaves no matter what, I think. Look, I'm gonna put up higher leaves, and I'm gonna put up put her up as the one selection, hope and experience and standard in good stead. Mother Nature, if you're gonna beat a Ballydoyle Smart Horse, can be on debut, and higher leaves with forecast the other way, then Mother Nature and higher leaves as well. So how's that?
Okay, all right. So not leaving Mother Nature out of it, essentially.
Out of it, but, yeah,
higher leaves, the one to beat for Henry Bromhead and Dead Billy Lee, which is obviously not.
I'm very much torn because I like higher leaves, but I can see the angle with the Ballydoyle fillies.
Yeah, so, and I just had a quick check to see if she's priced for the Oaks. She's entered obviously in the Oaks at Epsom, and she is 33-1. So look, you price up horses who are entered in the race, and she's one of many for Aidan. But it'd be interesting to see if there's any nibbles for her prior to the maiden. Maybe someone might think, you know what, if she wins this by 4 or 5 lengths, that 33s is going to be long gone. But anyway, fascinating maiden, I think it's fair to say, at 7:30.
When Henry de Bromhead answers a favour for the Oaks after Friday night, there you go.
And he's had some very good fillies before. He's had some really good fillies before.
Very much worth following in the flattest horses. Yeah.
One of the OTI colours as well. But anyway, speaking of colours, you've been mad for putting up the memories of your winners from Pat Healy. He's great putting up on your winners recently, Pat Cash Healy on Twitter. And you rode in those Frank Dunn silks to win recently.
Recently,
it was like 20 years ago. Very famous colours. He passed away a couple of years ago now. My dad did a bit of work for him as well towards the latter stages with Anne, his partner. They've always been very good to dad. So shout out to Anne. I seriously doubt she listens to this, but anyway, shout out to Anne carrying the colours, continuing to carry the colours.
The only Irish winner of the Japan Cup. There you go.
Nera. Yeah.
1983.
What a man. Jim Bulger. Had a runner in the grade 2 juvenile hurdle as well, Jim, didn't
he?
Let's go back to what people are listening for. It's Dundalk. Handicap over the same trip, mile, quarter and change, is the 8 o'clock. This race is probably going to be headed by Americ in the market for Paul Flynn and Colin Keane. Very consistent sort round here. Dunnock O'Brien's got an interesting runner called Newport. We haven't seen for a while in the Arcos silks, lightly raced. Luke Comer, guess what? It's got loads of runners as well. But what are you thinking?
Name out your tissue there just for interest.
Go on. Okay, so 2-1 Americ. Moondarik, who I think you tipped last time we were on, Celtic Revival, your favourite horse ever, is also at 5-1. So 4-1 Moondarik, 5-1 Celtic Revival, 7-1 Leading Lion, and double figure odds the rest.
Okay, that's fine. Competitive handicap. Celtic Revival, he bounced back to his best form last time at this track, but at a mile and a quarter off his rating, he's always vulnerable at this trip. He needs a mile and a half to really be at his best. Garrick Painter, surprisingly well backed on a couple of occasions up here, is probably best at this trip. He's a pace angle into the race. And Moondarik, you mentioned PK, he's been a bit of a revelation up here this winter since getting headgear on, and a cracking run last time bidding for a hat trick. He got nailed late on by a horse who dropped down to weights in Highland King, who challenged wide of Moondarik, didn't give him a lot of time to respond to the winner's late run. But Moondarik, very consistent. He's stepping up in grade here today, and I think he's got plenty on, despite Wesley Joyce being back to take the ride. And you mentioned Newport, trained by Dunnock O'Brien, really decent form at one point there in 2022, third to Convent Garden and third to Trachonitis. Obviously, not been seen at a track since then, 527 days off, but off a mark of 71, stepping up and trip, he could be dangerous for all that. His best form has come on ground with a good cut in it, but that might have been circumstances given he's running in September, October. He's just definitely worth a mark of watch. And Americ, very consistent, likeable horse, likely pace angle for Colin Keane taking the ride. However, love English trained, ex-English trained handicappers arriving into Ireland, and particularly on the all weather at Dundalk. And Leading Line is now trained by Gordon Elliott, of course, by Roaring Line, formerly in the same owners of Roaring Line colours, of course, Qatar Racing, and had 3 runs in the UK, just beat Newcastle over a mile last October, and in a 4-way photo, just got caught for toe late on over 9 furlongs of Wolverhampton. The winner is rated 90, and the horse surrounded were all rated in the high 70s, early 80s. So on the day, I think it was a very good run. And looking at him, he looks a big individual that would not be at his best at a sharp track like Wolverhampton, I'd feel. And given he switched stables in the meantime, he's had four runs over hurdles, for Gordon Elliott, the last of which came in early February. He may well just have recent enough race fitness, if you like, under locker, but given his breed and desire, one day rowing line was highly effective on artificial surfaces, it tend to travel very well. Looking at this horse, and while the quarter is going to bring out the best in him, and as a likely race 4-year-old in this grade, given the form of the Wolverhampton win and around Newcastle, he could be very, very well in here, taking on some very likeable but exposed rivals.
Interesting angle into leading line there. Declan McDonagh and Gordon Elliott combined. That is in the 8 o'clock. Again, could be smashed up. Could go off 2-1. Could go off 8, 10, 20-1. We'll find out. One more race. It is the rated race conditions contest. 6 runners, some classy horses. 3 triple figure rated horses here. You've got the 105 rated Hans Anderson for Aidan O'Brien, Ryan Moore. They potentially could be looking for a treble on the card. 104 for Tyson Fury, who's recently ran at the big meeting on Good Friday across the water. And Vizio, Gary Carroll, that's a 101. And Shamari for Joseph is rated 99. So it's classy little contest.
It really is. And if we work our way down through them from the top, Crystal Clear wouldn't be out of it on her best day either. Dual winner last year on the turf and has had place form on the all-weather. She was very keen and fresh in her return to action after a 5 or 6 month layoff last time at this track. Tyson Fury, no show on the all-weather at Newcastle last week. Prior to that, had won over 2 miles, but I don't think has enough on here, even at the ratings on the best of his form. Vizio, one of the stories last flat season, of course, Dick Donoghue's charge, much improved, won a Lister race in really good style in the last day of the turf season, beating Helvic Dream in good style. All of her form, though, and best form has come in test and ground. Her all-weather record would not be great, even at a lower level. So given the length of time she's been off the track and her record on the all-weather, I would definitely give her a swerve on this occasion, for all I would respect her back on the turf after a run. Gentleman Joe had a decent bit of form back in the UK back in 2021. He was turned to cocked hat at Goodwood behind Yabir and Lone Eagle, wasn't it? On the day, not a bad run, but he's doesn't like jumping for his current connections as such. He's not the best jumper in the world anyway, for all that he won a hurling good style at Clonmel last May. And you're down to Hans Anderson, who had very good juvenile form as a 2-year-old. Only seen him twice in the track last year. Hard to know what to make of his Guineas run in France. A trappy race. He wasn't beaten that far despite being second last. Only beat 4 lengths and off track a long length of time on ground. Clearly wouldn't suit him based on a lot of his runs, at least anyway. Well, he did win in heavy, but a mile and a half on bottomless winter ground definitely found him out on his return to action. It's just hard to know what to make of him and where you are with him. And is he a lead horse at Ballydoyle for the younger horse now at the age of 4? We'll find out. Maybe he's better than that. But as a consequence, I'm going to go to one down the bottom, Shamwari. I like this filly. I like her attitude. And I think she's got a better profile for this on this occasion, at least. Hans Anderson, the market will tell you everything with him. He'll either be, as you said, punted in strongly to long odds on favouritism or odds on, or he could be very weak in the market. And if he's weak in the market, Shamwari's the most reliable here. She's got a really good run record on at this track. She won here in good style over 10 furlongs in July, second to Tower London, only beaten a length of 3/4 prior to that in listed company by Justify. A mile and a half of the all weather will play to her strengths. She looked like a filly that would get better from 3 to 4, and with her ideal conditions here, I think she's more straightforward perhaps than the likes of Hans Anderson and Vizio, who'll probably need to run on the surface.
Very interesting runner, Hans Anderson. It is kind of hard to figure out why he stayed in training outside of being a lead horse, like you said, but yeah, you don't need to run the lead horses. So yeah, really, as in run them in races.
He could be better than that again, you know, but I'd let the market tell you, and let time tell you with a horse like that. Yeah.
And it did with him last time out. He was a massive drifter in that finale stakes behind Vizio. Maybe the ground didn't suit and everything, but he was a big drifter. Right. That is Dundalk wrapped up. Fantastic. A right little go. Hopefully a few winners thrown in there. It's now time for your best bets on Friday evening, Fran Berry, on what is a classy card. Where are we going?
We're going to go to handicap for the Knapp, race 7. I'm really interested in number 3, leading line. Is Sire had a very, very good record on the all-weather roaring line. He's had 4 runs over hurdles to date on winter ground for Gordon Elliott, 3 runs in the UK, and stepping up in trip based on his form there in the UK. His opening handicap mark in Ireland could be exploitable. And leading line for me is very interesting on Irish flat debut.
That is a hell of a shout for a Knapp. Is there an Acca or a treble or double or anything?
There
else?
Is.
Lovely.
Yeah, we're going to roll some sort of an Acca in anyway. Race 1, Talia, her back form since being beaten at this track has really stood up very well. I think dropping down to 6 furlongs on the all weather would suit her extremely well. And she's got a decent draw on stall number 3. Race 2, we're going to roll with. And race 2 is Royal Correspondent. 2 runs today for trainer Gerline's. Been gelded since we've seen him last. And again, dropping down to 6 furlongs of the all weather could suit him very well. He could be very well handicapped here. Race 4, recent winner Bungle in the Desert. I think value for the winning margin should be very hard to beat with running in the same grade as he did last time. And a horse that he beat on that occasion, race 5, the one that got away well backed. Things did not go all that well from on his return to action last time at this track. He can gain compensation for connections. We'll roll them into some sort of a ACCA, if you like, PK as well.
Absolutely, and they'll all win too, Fran. That's the idea.
Exactly. And then the race 6, I'm very torn between the maiden. Big fan of Higher Leave, so we'll put her in a forecast with to cover ourselves in case Mother Nature wins. So what's that? Forecast Mother Nature, Higher Leaves.
Combo. Reverse forecast.
Reverse. We go reverse.
Lovely. Right. That, you've got pretty much every race covered. We're talking on Wednesday, so it's probably too far. What are you doing this weekend, Fran? What are you doing this weekend? It seems like a long way, right?
Dundalk Friday and see the weather does the weekend. And I'm not on the weekend TV-wise, so I might go to the car for a couple of hours. But soccer, Gaelic, golf season has started back, so could be taxi driving as well around, but excellent, all good PK, yeah.
Might get out to a small little course near me called the European Club. You've heard of it?
Oh, it's meant to be very good. Yeah,
tough, yeah, you heard it. Yeah, it's absolute humble brag here.
Did you see any famous putts on Instagram or Twitter?
I saw some absolute. Yeah, tell you what, you've really nailed how to use the post production graphics to make sure the ball goes in the hole in those videos. Well done. That's really good. It looks real. It looks like you're actually making those putts.
AI.
Really does. Like, that's really well done. Yeah, you can not only can't be a jock anymore, but now you can be a video editor too. It's amazing. Hashtag fake news. Right. Yes, I have seen you. The training over the winter has been as well. You're making a few quid back by looks things.
Little bit of progress. No, we lost money last week, but might get it back tomorrow. If we get out tomorrow with this weather,
fingers. Yeah, it's brutal, isn't it? Can we extend the Dundalk season so we get a few more guaranteed flat meetings between now and kind of May?
It can happen. They can put meetings on there at short notice. So see what happens. But it has to turn. It will.
Fran, we've got one more Dundalk meeting to talk about. That's next week, and then it will be sporadic. You might pop up in the odd pod, hopefully, for us on weekend tipping. Because we can't go somewhere without talking to you, can we?
Exactly.
Man, it's great to have you back in our lives. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the golf, the racing, and everything else, and the football and the swimming and the. You and Rory Delargy were saying the same again. You're not selling this kid thing to me. Have a great weekend, Fran. Do remember, folks, get your questions into producer Mark, fthm@paddypower.com for the punters panel. And Kira has kindly confirmed that if your question is read out, you will get a free bet. Happy days. So get those questions into fthm@paddypower.com. Mick Fitz, Tom Nugent, Ruby Walsh, and Frank Hickey will be on the show. Until the weekend tipping show with Joe Logue, we have to have him back after his incredible weekend last weekend, and Rory Delargy. That'll be coming down Thursday evening. Have a wonderful weekend, folks. We'll be back next week. Watch out for that punters panel.